The enchanting world of Hinge and Bracket. Like most villagers in the country, Stacton Trestle is celebrating the Queen's Silver Jubilee. Numerous meetings have been held, numerous suggestions have been discussed, but nobody has actually done anything. As the celebrations are fixed for this coming Saturday, the matter is becoming rather urgent, and so a final meeting of the Jubilee Committee has been called for tonight in the church hall. And as usual, Dame Hilda and the doctor are first to arrive.
Now, Evadne, let's set out the notepads and pencils on the tables, dear.
Waste of time, Hilda. Nobody ever has an idea worth jotting down. I don't know why we bother with notepads.
Well, two very good reasons, dear. First of all, it's proper committee procedure. And also, Mr. Teasdale likes to make paper airplanes.
Yes, I've been dive-bombed a few times myself.
Well, it helps him to concentrate, you see, dear.
Why can't he do what the vicar does and just doodle?
Yes, he does like a doodle, doesn't he? He always draws those little chickens, have you noticed?
Yes.
A sort of cock-a-doodle-doo. Anyway, Mr. Teasdale can sit here well out of your line of fire.
If he turns up. I heard that he'd lost his voice.
Yes, well, I persuaded him to come, voice or no voice. We need a quorum, you see. It's very important, a quorum.
Yes.
The vicar's picking him up in his car.
If the vicar remembers.
Yes, that's true. Well, of course, Donald does hurt the occasional lips.
He's getting worse, you know, dear. You'll see, one Sunday at a christening, he'll say to the father, "Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?"
Excuse me, Dame Hilda.
Oh, yes, Maud. What is it, dear?
Shall I serve the tea now?
Well, not just now, Maud. It might be better to leave it till later, you know, when there's somebody here to drink it.
Just as you wish. I'll make it later, then. Because if I make it now, it'll be cold later. It'll be up now, but it'll be cold later.
Thank you, mastermind.
I'll wash the cups instead. They're a bit dusty. I wasn't going to bother, only now I've got time, I might as well.
All right, dear. Yeah.
I don't know why Maud had to come down here tonight.
Well, she likes to help, dear. It's a pity there aren't more like her. She's one on her own, Maud.
I won't argue with that. If there were two, I'd emigrate.
Exactly. You're being very unkind. She is a good worker and very patriotic. Did you know that just for the Jubilee, she's embroidered a Union Jack on her cardigan?
Good. Well, let's hope someone runs her up a flagpole.
Look, let's forget about Maud and collect our thoughts for the meeting. Donald is bound to suggest that young Douglas works the spotlight at the evening concert.
Douglas is a monster, a dreadful boy.
Yes. Did you hear what he did when he was working the lights for the Boy Scout pantomime?
No, I didn't, Hilda.
Oh, well, I don't tell you.
Oh, come on, dear, you must now, you must.
Well, apparently, on the Friday night, he totally ignored Mr. Roberts, who was playing Cinderella.
Oh, yes, and most convincingly.
Yes, that is. He was very good, of course, but then, of course, he's light on his feet.
Yeah.
Especially in the transformation. Well, he totally ignored him, and he kept the spotlight on a courting couple on the back row.
Poor Mr. Roberts. Who were the couple, dear?
One was Mrs. Roberts. I don't know who the gentleman was, but by all accounts, Mrs. Roberts did. Very well. Ah, I think I hear footsteps. Ah, Donald, glad you could make it.
Yes. You haven't been waiting long, have you?
Oh, no, dear. Good heavens. What's half an hour?
Did you remember to pick up Mr. Teasdale, Donald?
What? Oh, yes, indeed. Where is he? In here, Mr. Teasdale. He's lost his
Sense of direction, by the sound of it.
No, he's lost his voice, poor man.
Ah, now come in, Hubert. How are you, dear?
Hello, I'm not damaged. Oh, it's the voice.
Yes, yes, it is cold, isn't it? What did you say, dear?
I've no idea.
Well, shall we start?
That is why we're here.
Yes, good, yes, right. Yes, of course we are, yes, right. We'll start then. Over to you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Donald. Now, first of all, no, would you mind sitting over there, Hubert, in the corner? Right. Now, first of all, Mr. Chairman, I have a few apologies. Mrs. Smollett, wife of our dear chairman, apologizes for her absence. Apparently, she has a touch of food poisoning.
I trust she'll soon be better, Donald.
The old crab.
Pardon?
The tin of crab. Ate it for a lunch, or was it lunch? Yes, lunch, that's right. Anyway, we ate it, yes.
Well, convey our sympathy, Donald, won't you? Now, Mrs. Percival apologizes for her absence. She's giving a talk to the Women's Institute.
That should last for 3 days.
And Mr. Percival has a headache.
Yes, Mrs. Percival.
Their daughter Marigold, recently back from her honeymoon, as you know, apologizes for her absence. Her husband is in hospital and she's waiting for the gas man to call. Anyhow, that only leaves Miss Primley, who apologizes for her absence. She is visiting her pen friend in Sweden, lucky girl. All those Vikings.
Excuse me, Dame Hilda.
And Maud apologizes for being here.
There's only 2 cups with handles on.
Well, there should be at least 6 more to the coronation set.
I know, but I've washed up since then. And I can't seem to get the hang of this new boiler.
Maud, the instructions are on a piece of paper just in the top drawer.
Oh. I used that to light it with.
Well, do what you can, Maud. We must get on.
Yes. Well, good. Yes, well, shall we move on to the first item? Or what do you think? I always think it's best to start with the first item.
A good idea, Donald.
Yes, good. Right. Yes, now. Well, the first item is apologies.
I've just done those, Donald.
Yes, of course you have. I apologize. Yes, well. We'd better have the minutes of the last meeting.
Can't we take them as read, Mr. Chairman? We are pressed for time.
Oh, no, dear. No, good gracious me, no. We must observe the proper committee procedure. Minutes of the meeting of the Jubilee Committee held in the church hall on Wednesday the 24th. Mr. Smollett in the chair. Apologies were received from Mrs. Smollett, Mrs. Percival, Mr. Percival, their daughter Marigold, and Miss Primley. After the apologies, Mr. Smollett opened the meeting but was interrupted by a loud explosion. It was proposed by Dr. Hinge and seconded by Dame Hilda Brackett that the meeting be closed due to Maud blowing up the old gas boiler. This was carried unanimously, as indeed was Maud, out of the kitchen.
Good. Now, is there anything arising out of those minutes?
Only Maud.
Oh, very good, dear. Oh, I like this. I wish I'd thought of that.
Yes, good. Well, move on? Yes.
Right,
yes.
Well, let us discuss first the afternoon activities in the cricket field.
Good. Now, I do know for a fact that plans for the children's tea party are well in hand.
Excellent.
Mrs. Connors is kindly providing the sticky buns, providing her daughter is crowned Jubilee Queen.
Preferably with a sticky bun.
What news have we on the firework display?
Ah, yes. Now, I've had a word with Mr. Fossard, and the firework display is definitely on, provided he can get some fireworks.
Yes, well, of course, Midsummer is not really the best time to buy them, is it?
I'll put a question mark next to fireworks. Yes, all right. There we are then. Fireworks. Question mark. Yes. Now, what news is there on roasting the ox? Mr. Teasdale?
Well, I'm just in time to roasting the ox.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Hubert. Yes, very sorry to hear that. So we'll have to manage without the ox roasting.
Oh, dear. Oh, great shame. I suppose you have spoken to the ox man, Mr. Teasdale?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling Smoan. No.
Yes, yes, I thought you would have, yes. Yes, it's a very great pity. I was rather looking forward to that, turning the spit and so on. Still, if there's no ox, there won't be anything to roast. I don't suppose we could roast anything else.
Excuse me again.
I just thought an alternative, Mr. Chair.
What is it, Mort?
Well, will you be long? Only the first aid class have booked the hall for 5 o'clock.
Well, we're going as fast as we can, Mort.
They're doing the kiss of life this week.
Oh, good.
I'm not volunteering, though.
I'm sure that will be appreciated, Mort.
And I don't think there'll be any tea this afternoon, either.
Oh, dear. Is the new boiler proving temperamental?
No, I broke the teapot.
Yes, well, while you're here, Maud, regarding the afternoon activities, can we count on you to run your usual clairvoyant tent? I think we still have the placard from the pageant, A Peep into the Future with Gypsy Maud.
Oh, I'm willing, Dame Hilda, but I don't know what I'm doing one day to the next.
Gypsy Maud doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
Good, good, right. Well then, looking at the afternoon programme, everything seems to be well in hand, yes. We've no fireworks, no ox roasting, the children's tea party and Gypsy Ward. Yes, good. So, bearing this in mind, what time do you think we shall be starting the evening concert?
About 2:30. Come into the kitchen, Maud. Doctor's upstairs getting ready.
Thank you, Dame Hilda.
My word, dear, I do like your gypsy costume.
Oh, it's only an old tablecloth.
Yes. Well, I suppose they do have gypsies in the desert. And what a lovely earring.
Yeah, you see, it's a bit heavy, though.
Yes, you do seem to have a bit of a starboard list.
Do you like my new hairstyle, Dame Hilda?
Oh, yes. Yes, very nice, yes. It's sort of, very nice.
I was under the dryer for 2 hours. I thought she'd forgotten me. I told her I wanted something Spanish.
Yes, well, it's olé.
Hi.
Ah, Maud Terivetne.
Hello, Maud. I thought you were going to the hairdresser's.
I've been.
Oh, was she closed?
Don't be wicked, Evadne. Now, Maud, you won't mind if we don't come and have our fortunes told, will you, dear?
Oh, of course not. It'll be the same as I give you last time anyway. It's the same as I give everybody.
Right, so we won't see you until tonight's concert.
Oh. And it's going to be very good, Dame Hilda. I saw Mr. Flathers rehearsing his paper tearing yesterday. Ooh, he is good. He got this piece of newspaper and yes. He just passed me the sectum bugle and folded it across here like this.
Yes.
And then he tore it in half. Yes. Oh, no, hang on. No. Oh, just pass me that other paper. Now, he folded it in half. Yes. Then he folded it again.
Yes. Okay.
Across the middle, yes, like this. Yes. Then he tore a bit out of it here. Yes. And he tore a bit out of it here. Then he folded it inside out and he tears it down the middle.
Yes, yes.
Then he shoves this half underneath this other half, and he tears a bit out of it here. Oh, no, no, hang on. It was out of here, that's it. Then he Now, what did he do next? Oh, yes. He pulls this bit back.
Yeah?
And, oh, look. The Sound of Music's on and stacked and fired.
Never mind. Do get on, Maud.
Yes, well, he tears this bit off here and a bit more off here, folds it over and opens it out and says...
Confetti.
No, he didn't. He says, hey, presto. And it's a tree with hanging branches.
Well, yours seems to have had a severe pruning, Maud.
Yes, well, he probably uses special paper.
Yes, well, now, if we're all ready, we'll drop you off at your little tent, Maud. Now, Evadne and I are going straight to the town hall to rehearse everybody for tonight. Now, you'll be coming back safe to help, will you, Maud?
Yes, you can dry the dishes on your tablecloth.
I'll be there, Dame Hilda.
Thank you, yes, yes, thank you. And welcome back to the second half of the Jubilee concert. And I hope you have enjoyed the refreshments. And a special thanks to dear Maud for serving the ice cream.
I had to drink mine.
Yes, and so to open this bazaar, the second half, I call on our dear friends, Dame Hilda and the Doctor.
Oh, lovely, thank you, Donald. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, the song we've chosen to start off with is a lovely piece written by dear Noel. Noel Coward, that is. We didn't know him intimately, like a lot of other people, but this song comes from one of his best loved and early musicals, Bittersweet. And it is the lovely gypsy song, Zigeuner, from Act 3. Once upon a time, many years ago, lived a fair princess, hating to confess, loneliness was torturing her soul. Then a gypsy came, called to her by name, woke her with a song, sensuous and strong, all the song, the passion seemed to linger like a living flame. Everybody. Now, if you will bear with me just for a moment, I'm going to confer with my colleague about the next item.
But we've rehearsed the next item, dear.
No, no, this is a last-minute surprise, dear. Sexton Tweddle has insisted on playing a piece on his trombone. Where are you going, Evadne?
I'm not sitting here in the draft, dear.
Yes, but you've got to accompany him.
I was afraid of that. Well, I'm not going to suffer on my own, dear. You can turn my music over.
Yes, I was afraid of that. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, a nice surprise. We have persuaded Sexton Tweddle, that is Maud's brother-in-law, that is almost one of the family, if
if he will entertain you, as only he can. Now, last year, as some of you will remember, he very gallantly attempted Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture. This year, well done, Sexton, he is hoping to follow that with Tiptoe Through the Tulips. So, ladies and gentlemen, Sexton Twiddle.
Come on, Ernie. Come on, Ernie. You show them now.
Key, dear.
I think he was in the wrong building. Thank you, Sexton Twiddle, for a performance that will live in everybody's memory. Well, as many of you will have expected, our own headmistress, Miss Primley, from Stacton Gales High, she has produced yet another of her poetical works of art. This time, to celebrate this wonderful jubilee of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. So, with Dr. Hinge at the piano, I would like to give you, and it gives me very great pleasure to do so, A Wet Sunday on a Bicycle. Churchman's heavily, it's clocks shows three and stacks but two. A wayward clock, thy works are made of tea cakes. And a Rhode Island red smiles to herself. The butcher's dog Erasmus sprawls, yawning in the sun. He scratches forcibly, a squatter please move in. And the chemist cat chuckles softly. Excursion coaches slowly halt outside the gallant ferret and spill out frantic tipples, those who drink and those who drank too much. And a nearby squirrel grins for no known reason. The river gently flows round Mr. Fleek, who stands in high-rise boots and casts an unskilled line around a holly bush. The fish chortle and shout aloud, "Can't catch me!" And everyone agrees, it's been a funny day. Well, now that we're coming to the end of our grand jubilee concert, I'm sure that all of you here this evening on this splendid occasion in these lovely hallowed walls of Sefton Town Hall would like to join us in a rousing chorus and a very patriotic song. Now, this song is normally sung at the last night of the proms, which, as we all know, takes place in the Royal Albert Hall, which is not dissimilar to this. There you see, the atmosphere on the last night is electric. Oh, when we were girls, it would have been gas. Now, I tell you what we thought we would do. With Dr. Hinge on the pianoforte, and we've asked Sexton if he would like to join in this, but he said no. Thankfully. So without the flourish of the Greek trumpeters by Sexton, we will start off with the doctor on the piano, myself sort of getting you into it, and then you all join in, sing as loudly as you can, and really make it a night to remember, and, well, be glad that it's the evening it is. All right? Thank you, dear. Land of hope and glory,
their enchanting world, Hinge and Brackett were joined by bewitching Daphne Hurd as Maud, debonair David Marlowe as Donald Smollett and Mr. Teasdale, and dashing Derek Southcott as Sexton Tweddle's trombone. The programme, the last in the present series, was written by that delightful trio, Mike Craig, Laurie Kinsley and Ron McDonald, and produced in fragrant Manchester by gentleman James Casey.